here. Appreciate you being here. We'll give it just a minute or two, and we'll get started at 2 o'clock. Thanks for coming.
No, we don't. Wish we did.
We're not that up to speed yet. Yeah.
I will now. It caught me last, was it 2 weeks ago? Last Monday, you were still under the weather, and so I had to run the meeting, and someone got up to speak in a public comment and started campaigning, which you can't do because they vote 25 feet away, and I had no delay.
Well, I had thought of that earlier.
I flunked. That's like you can have a drop. What are you all
about the folks presenting, you mean?
Everybody.
I don't think so. It might be fine for all of your folks to do that, too.
Yep. Hey, are they going to be talking from the table if they can't even have this microphone?
No.
I'll get over it.
Okay.
Are we ready, Connie? Yep. Let Angie turn this on and we'll... All right. Again, thanks for being here. Call the meeting to order. Introduce Connie with FEMA and she'll take it from here.
Hi, again, I am Connie Wisniewski with FEMA. We're here today to discuss flood insurance rate maps, the preliminaries for Taney County and the communities within. We'll have a short presentation, and we'll have a few other people that will probably be coming up and speaking on different parts of what does occur during the time the preliminaries have come out to when they become effective. I would like to introduce Steve Noe with AMEC Earth and Environmental. He will be giving the presentation. Steve.
Thank you, Connie. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out today. I'll try to not linger too long with the presentation, but there are a few key things here that we need to go over in order to for you to understand how the lines got on the maps. Just a brief agenda that we're going to go through. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFIP program. We're going to talk a little bit about how the lines got on the maps. We're going to talk a little bit about the map adoption process. And then we're going to get down to the tail end of this, which is basically breakout sessions to look at some maps that we brought here today and listen to comments and things that the local officials as well as the local residents may have seen that have come in and looked at the maps. Areas that we may need to look at in more detail or things that you may know that goes on out there that we couldn't tell based on the data that we had available at the time that we created the maps. Other people that are key to this is, of course, Connie introduced us here to get us started. There's Bob Franke at Region 7. He's the Regional Project Officer. Will Zung is here today with us. He's representing the STAR Group who will... He's got a piece of a presentation here at the end in terms of, well, he'll introduce you to what we're calling risk map, and I'll say a couple things about that as we go through here. Then Dale Smutzler with SEMA. Some of you have met him in the past. He's been involved with the state floodplain program here for a while. Scott Zeller, kind of a new kid on the block there, but if you stay in this very long, you're going to get a chance to work with him some. And then Karen McHugh, and I'll let you know a little bit about when she'll come in on your ordinance. That's on the adoption side. That'll be probably when she'll be talking to you. As I said before, I'm Steve Noe. I'm the program manager for AMEC Earth and Environmental for these type services. I have with me here today that helped work on the maps, Alicia Williams, GIS project manager, and I have Lee Boschner and Mary Beth McBreed with FTN and Associates here today and there. They did a lot of work on getting your maps created also. All right, so what is the NFIP program? How many people in here could say what the NFIP program is? Okay, it's pretty easy. National Flood Insurance Program is basically a program that was developed to provide affordable flood insurance for those that have assets in the floodplain. You can go out and buy private flood insurance, but it'll be several times more expensive than the flood insurance you can get through the NFIP program. As a participant in the flood insurance program, your local community or county is required to adopt and enforce floodplain management. Okay. One misconception that's always out there associated with floodplains is just because your property is in that nice colored area on these new fancy maps doesn't mean you can't build something there. What it means is that if you're going to build there, we want you to build smart. We want you to build up above the elevation so that your carpet and your microwave and so on and so forth won't get wet. It's not that you can't. It's just that we want you to build smart, okay? And that's their requirements from participating. They're to enforce smart floodplain management in their entity. What's the goals? Well, the goals of the program is to reduce loss of life and property, reduce the cost associated with disasters, and as a short-term goal, provide those that are in the floodplain that are below the flood elevations affordable flood insurance. And the long-range goal, as you redevelop, rebuild, or build new, get above or out of the floodplain. So you're kind of managing your risk. If you're in a flooding situation, you get insurance to manage that risk. If you're outside, if you're building something new, you have the information, i.e. the maps and the elevations on the maps, in order to know where to build and where not to build. Now, one of the things that I always bring up that I find that a lot of times in rural Missouri, rural Kentucky, rural Kansas, in the rural areas, when you get outside the cities, and I'm not, if there's any city folk in here, don't get mad at me, but when you get outside the cities, as a rule, folks for the most part know where to build. Because if they're going to build on a piece of property, they've got two or three generations giving them input on where to and where not to build. They've seen how high the water gets, and they see what the river or the creek does when it comes that frog strangler, as we'd say. And as a rule, if that grandkid or that kid or that great-grandkid's building a house on your property, usually that house is built up and out of the floodplain. With the old maps, where we didn't have the good topography, a lot of times the maps didn't represent that. But with the new topography and the level of detail of topography that we have that we create these maps on today, what we see a lot is the floodplains wrapping around those pieces of property. And hopefully, in your area of interest, you're seeing that also. How do we accomplish this? Well, our main vehicle of accomplishing those goals is creating a map. Creating a map that helps you with your asset, your building, your business, understand where your proximity is to that risk. In other words, that nice blue, green, red area that's on these scrolls or the blue areas that's on the panels, where is your proximity of your asset to that risk? Well, used to, if you've ever seen an old FEMA floodplain map, it was a vector-based. It just had lines for streets and so on and so forth. These new maps have aerials in the background. They're made to look at on a computer. You can print out a pretty good map on paper, but really they're made to look at on the computer. And as we'll get to here in a minute on several of the products, you don't have to have any fancy software in order to do it. You just got to have Adobe Reader. You can pull it up, you can zoom in, you can pull around, and for the most part, you can determine whether your doghouse is in the floodplain or not. The other thing is to help educate the folks. What does the 100-year floodplain mean? Okay, how often would you flood in a 30-year mortgage? What does it mean that when do I have to and when do I not have to buy flood insurance? Provide the federally backed flood insurance for those that need it. And then, as I've said several times before, encourage smart development if you do want to develop in the floodplain. There's a lot of people that are in the floodplain. They know they're in the floodplain. They've always been in the floodplain. My ancestors that settled in the early days, they're going to get just as close to the water as they could get, because in those days they had to pack water. And if they're going to have to pack it, they're going to make their house just as close to the water as they can get. But those places are definitely in the floodplain, okay? Today, we have the capabilities to define where that is so that when we build, we can either build up or out of the floodplain. This project was funded with federal year 2009 funding from the floodplain program. 2009, it's listed up here as a map modernization year. There was a five-year program to do map modernization that basically ended in 08. 2009 was a transition year into the new program, which is now called Risk Map. And Will's going to give a presentation here a little at the end that kind of introduces us to Risk Map and some of the Risk Map products that come on top of the floodplain maps. These are smart maps. These lines, this text, if you see something on one of these maps, it's smart in that it's got data behind it. It's not just a line drawn on the map. There's elevations, and the elevations and the lines on the map, they know where they are in the world. Just like your GPS or a GPS in your car can track your little car around on the road, these maps, when you're in this in a digital environment, they know where they are, okay? And that's a big change in the way we do mapping. These are the tasks that's been gone through in order to produce these maps. There was a scoping meeting. We prepared base map preparation, which is roads, names of creeks, political boundaries, so on and so forth. Is that final? No. If there's road naming wrong, if there are political boundaries that need to be adjusted according to looking at the maps, we welcome those comments at this time. The next 3 through 6 is the way that the lines get on the map, and I'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second. And where we are now is what we call in post-preliminary. Preliminary map production is the production of the maps, to get them out for preliminary, to get them reviewed, to get them walking through the comment process. Post-preliminary starts the day those come out. And that's about a 14 to 15 month period to get to map adoption, okay? And we'll talk a little bit about those dates here in a minute. We try to keep it simple in that there's three types of risk. There's high risk, medium risk, and low risk. High risk being, if you look on these maps and you see blue on the map, that's high risk. That's 100-year floodplain. If you look on these maps and you see a shaded dots, it's black dots, that's a medium risk. Usually, that's the 500-year floodplain, which is the next level of floodplain outside the 100-year. There is one other area that could be on the maps. I don't believe there are in Taney County, and that would be areas protected by a levee. That area behind the levee that's protected would show up as a shaded zone X. And then low risk is everywhere else. Highest point in the county, that's that location. Anything outside the blue or the shaded dots is the low risk. Okay, high risk. There's two areas. There's what we call, they're all A zones, but there's AE and there's A. AE zones are detailed studies. They have surveyed cross sections, they have surveyed bridges, and they have the little squiggly lines on it with an elevation on it as you walk along the stream that gives you that elevation for the 100-year flood along the stream. It also has an area, if you look in the middle of it, it's got kind of a hatched pattern on it that I'll show you here in a minute, and that's the floodway. So AE zones have elevations and have floodways, and usually most always have a 500-year floodplain, so they're going to have that shaded zone X outside also. So not only are you going to be able to know whether you're in or out of the 100-year, but if you're in that shaded zone area, you'll know you're out of the 100-year, you're not required to buy flood insurance, but you would be in the 500-year. Just kind of gives you an idea of how close you are to an event. Just because you're outside the 100-year floodplain doesn't mean you can't flood. What it means is you're not required to buy flood insurance, okay? The A zones, what that means is all of the A zones in the county are model based. What that means is hydrology, how many raindrops is running off, hydraulics, how high and how wide they're stacked trying to go down the creeks. All of that's been done with computer models, okay? With representative geometry based on the topography description we have for the county. What that means is some of your older maps, at least maybe two generations ago, was probably what I call NASCAR water. It's super elevated. You draw a line across the creek and look and survey the ground under it, and the ground under it might be 10 feet higher on one side than the other. Well, we know water doesn't flow down the creek that way. It just got mapped that way, okay, back in the day. This is what I call drag strip water. It's flat. If you draw a cross section across the floodplain, the elevation on one side is going to match the elevation on the other side. Because if you just bear with me here a second, because the way we do this is when we calculate that elevation on how high and how wide the raindrops are stacked trying to go down the stream or through the bridge, that calculates an elevation, okay? If you get up over the county and you look down on it and you draw little squares, okay, and you put an average elevation in each one of those little squares, and I'm not sure what size grid we used here. It was a 2 foot at vertical accuracy. Do you remember what size grid we used? I think it's 5 foot. So if you just can imagine getting your crayon out, getting up above the county and drawing 5 foot squares over the whole county. Steep slope, flat slope, medium slope. For that 5 foot, which is a little less than my arm span, and you put an average elevation in the middle of each one of those squares, okay? So we calculate, we got these squares that cover the floodplain. When we calculate that elevation on the creek, basically the software we got looks around that point on the creek. Any of those squares that's below that elevation is wet. Any of those squares that are above that elevation are dry. And when you look along the edge of it, it looks kind of like those old paper, or those old clothing scissors that you cut along the edge and makes that crooked cut. That's kind of the way the edge of the floodplain looks. And then basically, folks like Alicia and people a lot smarter than I am, smooth that edge of that floodplain up by going through the edges of those triangles. Okay? That's how your floodplains are basically created. So when the elevations are calculated along the stream, if those little squares are below the flood elevation, they get to be colored blue. If they're not, then they don't. Okay? But approximates, one of the things to remember, if you're building or if you're using this information to help people build on the A zones, bridges are not included in this. So if you're in an area where somebody wants to build right where the creek goes under the road, or the stream goes under the road, and you know that, and the road's 15 feet higher than the bottom of the creek, then and you know that when it comes that big rain, water goes over the road, you need to be a little leery of that floodplain right upstream, because that ponding area that kind of acts like a pond during a big event right upstream of the road, the floodplain won't. A detailed study would reflect that, but the zone A's won't. The zone A's going to be just nice and slim coming down through there. Just one word of precaution if you're building right next to the road, right upstream of a creek, and using a zone A. Now, everywhere else, that zone A is going to be pretty much right on. Okay, and it'd be really good as far as floodplain management goes. This is just an example of a zone A. As you can see, it's kind of bare minimum. There's no little squiggly lines with elevations. There's no floodway. There's just an outline of a floodplain. This, you look at this, that would be a representative of a detailed study. You've got labeled cross sections that if you pick up the flood insurance study, there's a profile and there's a table in there that will tell you the exact elevation that comes out of the model at that cross section. And then there's little squiggly lines. Those little squiggly lines have numbers on it. That's the same. That's an elevation that tells you the elevation that you ought to build above at that particular point along the stream. And then that's just representative of the zone X, which is the 500 year. And everywhere else is a zone X. I want to talk a little bit about grandfathering. Grandfathering rules aren't going to be quite as applicable in this county because you've already been through the defirm process once before. This is a defirm update. So I'm not sure how many more locations will be in the floodplain now than before. But where grandfathering comes into play is if, let's just say Will didn't have very good recommendations on building his house, and he built his house and it was in the floodplain. But those old mapping contractors that mapped previously didn't do a very good job of mapping, and lo and behold, his area wasn't in the floodplain. So when he went, he built his house, he got his loan. He's young family starting out, Uncle Bob wouldn't loan him the money. Because if Uncle Bob loans you the money, you ain't got to get flood insurance because it's only required on federally backed mortgages. But Will had to buy, he had to go to the bank and get a federally backed mortgage. But he went in the floodplain. Okay, and that's a good thing since that's his business and that's what he does. It's been kind of embarrassing to be in the floodplain. Well, these other contractors came to town and they redid the maps, and lo and behold, that new topography put him in the floodplain. Okay? Well, the way grandfathering works is if he purchases his flood insurance, if he's going to have to buy flood insurance, and if he purchases his flood insurance prior to these folks up here adopting these maps, is the new effective maps, then when they go look at his property, which is the current maps, to set his insurance rate, he's not in the floodplain. So they set that insurance rate based on that. Then, when the new maps become effective and they reassess it, he will get grandfathered in at a lower rate because he purchased his flood insurance when he was not in the floodplain. That's the simple version of grandfathering, okay? Bottom line is, if you're in the floodplain now, you need to, and you weren't before, and you need to investigate the impacts of grandfathering. And Dale, myself, and Connie, there's a young lady at FEMA, Monique, who's a very good with the insurance side. Any of those folks could help you in your individual situation. But that's the thing you want to remember. And if there's one thing I can tell commissioners, the people that'll get mad, you'll get the maddest, is that person out there that Will didn't get informed that he could do this. They go effective, and he's not mad that he had to buy flood insurance. He's just mad that he didn't know that if he had just bought it 45 days sooner, it would have been a whole lot cheaper. Those are the people that get the maddest, and they usually blame the local officials. So anything that you can do to get the word out, that's a good thing. I live in a little town called Lickskillet, Kentucky. Okay, South Logan County, just north of Nashville, Tennessee. Okay, when my floodplain maps come out there, if I wanted to get the word out in South Logan, what I do is I go to a little store at Keysburg, Kentucky. Go in there and get my country ham biscuit, get me a cup of coffee. And I'd go up and pay for it, and I'd tell the guy there, Roger, I'd say, Roger, I got something I need to tell you. But you can't tell nobody. You know, there's these new floodplain maps coming out. And did you know if some people that aren't in the floodplain now and are in the floodplain now but weren't before, did you know if they buy their insurance before those new maps become effective, they can get cheaper flood insurance? But we can't tell nobody. By nightfall, everybody would know. Okay? That's how I would get the word out in Keysburg, Kentucky. Y'all know how to get the word out in Taney County and within and the best way. And that's up to y'all. But getting the word out is important for this reason. Letters of map change. We're going to work hard with you. We've already worked hard on these maps. Some of you probably came here today wondering who created these crazy maps because the water looks like it goes places that it's never gone before. But I can tell you, we've worked hard on these maps. We will continue to work hard on these maps based on your comments and data and input that you give us. Our goal is the day these maps go effective, they're as good as we can make them. But I'll go ahead and tell you, even with all of your help and all our hard work, there's still going to be some spots out there after the maps go effective, that somebody's going to look at a month later, 6 months later, or a year later, or going to want to change something out there from the way it is today that's going to make the maps change. So there is a way and there is a process to change those maps as we move forward. One of the ways is a LOMA. And this is really important, even with the better topography you got. And one of the, and we were looking at a site here right before the meeting on areas, and it's a typically when, if you've got, if the water elevation is just, say it's just a foot deep on the ground, and the houses are built up, so if you really drew it exactly right, each one of the houses would be little islands in the floodplain. We have mapping guidelines that we have to follow by FEMA. And in those mapping guidelines, we have a limitation on how big that island can be. And a classic example is that it looks like it's in the floodplain, but if you go to looking at it and you surveyed in and check that ground out, the lowest ground that touches that structure, it's above the floodplain. It's just a mapping thing. If that's the case, you can fill out a letter of map amendment, and I've got a graphic here in a minute that'll show you what that means. You fill that out, you submit that, and that's the same, even though the map shows your property in your house in the floodplain, that piece of paper is just as good as being out on. And once you get that LOMA, you attach that with your deed, you keep that with it, it's transferable to you, who you deed it to, it's transferable to who you sell it to. It's transferable, that LOMA. The other thing I'll remember is if you get grandfathered in at a lower insurance rate, that insurance rate is transferable as long as it's kept current, okay? As long as that premium, that insurance is continuously paid, whether you sell it, deed it, whatever, it's transferable, okay? But a LOMA, this house on the right here in the picture is a prime example. To be out of the floodplain on a LOMA, the lowest ground that touches your structure has to be higher than the flood elevation. Okay? The lowest ground that touches your structure has to be out of the floodplain. Now, you'll see that there's a deck on the back of that. And a lot of people that build near water like to have a deck off the back on the water side so they can sit out there and watch the water, or watch the critters run up and down the creek, or whatever it is you do on your deck looking toward the water. If that deck is attached to the house, in other words, if you got anchor bolts that anchor that to the house, then the lowest ground is the pole. If it's self-supported and it's just forever more close to the house, but it's not anchored to the house, then it's the lowest ground that touches the house. Just a small technicality, but it is the way the rules are defined. To be a part of the structure, it has to be connected. Lomar. Let's say, I can't imagine anywhere in Taney County this would happen, but let's say along a creek, if somebody wants to come in and level out a spot and put in a strip mall, or level out a spot and put in a new restaurant, or level out a spot and build a new school, or whatever. Those kind of things are you're supposed to fill out what we call a letter of map revision, because those areas that are changing where we're filling and building are large enough that if you were mapping it again, that area would show up as a map change on the maps. Okay, that's the difference between a LOMA and a LOMER. The LOMA, the piece of paper says I'm out. The LOMER changes the map. And the next time the maps are updated, the map would show that change in the floodplain. Okay? There's another part of a LOMAR that's associated with a field. We won't go into that, but it's the same process. It's just, instead of, you're doing it based, you're bringing fill in to get out of the floodplain versus just changing the shape of the floodplain because you're leveling the ground out. Okay, comments and appeals. As we move into the next round of this process, I don't think we have any appeals, right? Are we eligible for appeals here? Okay. What that means is that there's no new base flood elevations, detailed studies that were done within the county. The old detailed studies were validated. In other words, their hydrology and their hydraulics was looked at. And based on looking at it, the statement was made that it wouldn't change by more than 10%, so they're validated. So what those were done is those elevations in those old studies were brought forward and what we call redelineated on better topography. What you should see on the new maps compared to the old maps is the old maps would probably have been kind of a smooth floodplain. Went across the creek, went across the bridge, went across the road, whatever. The new maps, what they should do is when they get to a road, they should kind of go up the ditch a little piece and then go under and go up the ditch a little piece and goes down here and wraps around this house instead of just kind of going through it. You should see those changes in the edges of the floodplain that should be reflected associated with the new topography. Now, sometimes the new topography can cause problems, like the condos and stuff that we were looking at earlier with the gentleman. Sometimes that better topography gets right on that zone where you're just that much high or that much low, and all of a sudden you got wet blocks here, there, and yonder. And if you got one of those areas, bring that to our attention, and we'll make sure that there's not some more sort of digital anomaly going on there in creating the floodplain. But basically what way this goes is you'll have a 30-day comment period where the maps will be made available. You'll have 30 days to provide comments. Those comments will be acknowledged with an acknowledgement letter, and then there'll be a resolution letter sent out associated with those comments. I can tell you, as I've said before, our goal is to make these maps as good as we can make them with the data that we have available. So if you see something on them that needs to be, that doesn't look right, bring it to our attention and we'll investigate it with the data that we got or the data that you provide us. Comments, we want those comments to be provided back through your local floodplain administrator or someone here at the cities or counties, and then back to Dale at SEMA to us. We want to keep it that way so that the local administrators as well as SEMA knows about all of the comments and can make sure they're getting addressed and addressed properly. This is Dale's comment. This is Dale's information on how to get a hold of him. Do we have printed agendas today? And we can provide that information to you, cards, paper, whatever, here afterwards if you want this contact information. And with that, one other thing I want to talk about on map adoption, as we move through this and get to further down the road, there's going to become a time after the comment period, after we've resolved the comments, after we've come to resolution on all the comments, there's a point out there called LFD, Letter of Final Determination. Each of the county officials, as well as the city chief executive officers, will get a letter telling them what that LFD, getting an LFD letter telling what that date is. What that means is that's pencils down. Once the LFD date comes, we've pretty much made all the changes we can make to make the maps as good as we can make them. Local officials have 6 months from that date to pass an ordinance or an amended ordinance to adopt these new maps as your effective maps. If that isn't done 6 months in a day, you become a suspended community. Okay, you need to make sure you get that on your agendas prior to that 6 month going away. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Will. Will's going to talk to you a little bit about the risk map deliverables and the risk map program. Will?
Thanks, Steve. Again, my name is William Zung. I am with the START team. We are a contractor for FEMA to provide some professional technical services for FEMA. And as Steve mentioned, introducing risk map. 4L is the map modernization, where they took a lot of the old maps and modernized them into a GIS and nice orthophoto type maps. With RISC-MAP, they're focusing, they're still going to produce the same sort of maps, but they're also producing some other types of products for floodplain management purposes. These products are non-regulatory, so you could throw them in the trash if you want. You could use them for your floodplain management. They're meant to be tools for you to use, used to educate your citizens to have the best floodplain management out there. And as part of the RISC-MAP, it's a very new program, and so they're trying to work out some bugs of how they really want to build these products, what guidelines they want us to use and such. So what they did was called an early demonstration project, where FEMA decided to, before we finish writing all of our guidelines, let's go out and practice first. So, and Taney County was a prime example where you had your older maps, effective maps that were effective in 2006, come out with some new maps with some new topography, and it was a perfect example for some changes since last term. And we'll go and slide through here. What this is, and Stevens actually brought their own version, as the state cooperative technical partner, they're able to do some additional items that FEMA may not necessarily do. So they've been doing this for a number of years now, and FEMA's really just catching up. Quick overview, kind of the purpose and intended use of these of this changes this last firm, overview and kind of scalability and how we deliver this product. So the intended use is really to identify areas that have changed from your old maps to your new map. What areas went into the floodplain from your new maps? What areas went out of the floodplain from your new maps? What areas just kind of stayed the same? And it's to educate your floodplain administrator, educate your community. Go ahead. This is just a general schematic of mapping using the new topographic data, and I believe Taney County has this new light detection and ranging. It's very high resolution topographic data. And if you just kind of zoom in on a certain spot, this may be what an example of what an older map would look like. As you mentioned, very smooth lines. The next one. And then the new map with the new topo. And you see it's very jagged. It's kind of following all those little nuances in the topography. That's the better data you can get. The next one. And so we kind of show, here are the changes. In this example, yellow is what's increasing with the new maps. Green is what's been taken out. The new maps. Their example is slightly different colors, so that's part of the guidelines. Hopefully, we get the same color scheme. As part of this data, as Stephen said, it's smart data. There's data behind the data. And what we have here is just kind of an overview of what's behind this data. You have information about the old study. This example, it was done in 1985, it used an older model, it used USGS 10 contour data. Whereas a new study, had the LIDAR 2-foot contours. And this enhanced box down here, what FEMA's trying to do is you have more of like your basic products, and then you have your enhanced products. Your enhanced products is really intended for additional community involvement to make the product better and more user-friendly for your own individual community. And what we did here on this product, we actually added this estimated population. It was kind of a rough calculation based on census data to get kind of a ballpark idea of how much population is in the floodplain now and how much population is out of the floodplain now. So the way we deliver this product is in a GIS layer. That's a geographic information system. It's all computer-based, where you could throw it into your GIS. I don't know. Some communities, usually the counties, have this capability that they can just throw it on top of aerial photos, throw it on top of your parcel data to get an idea of where these changes occur. And this is kind of the idea of FEMA's risk map, where they have flood risk database, and this database contains all the products that are eligible under risk map. Now, community may or county or watershed may decide, we don't want all those products, we just want these products over here. So we're able to produce just those products. Again, it's for your use of what you want and you know, what's available funding. And this database feeds different other products. It feeds a report that says, here's your risk inside this watershed. This does not replace your flood insurance study. Your flood insurance study, the individual flood insurance rate maps will stay as the regulatory product. This is just for floodplain management purposes. And it can produce some other products and other